you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
My guest today is Carl Frazier, a.k.a. Michigan's only masked monster, NWA Underground Wrestling's current heavyweight champion, Jamie Eternal.
Thank you, folks, very much.
This is one big guy. He's wearing a mask. He's scary. He's scaring the mohawk off me, and I don't scare very easily. Welcome to You Talking to Me.
Thanks for having me.
You're the current heavyweight champion of a wrestling promotion called NWA Underground.
I sure am.
And how long have you been champion for?
I've been champion of NWA Underground since September of 2009.
And have you had other titles other than champion or with any other companies or anything like that?
Oh, yes. I've held multiple different championships with other companies. My home promotion is called Price of Glory Wrestling, based out of Coldwater, Michigan, with Dan Severn. And there I've been tag team champion, and I've been what they call the chaotic champion on multiple number of times.
Okay, what's chaotic champion?
They created a belt called the Chaotic Championship, which basically, when you have the Chaotic Championship, the only way to defend it is in a special stipulation kind of match. It's not, they do not just have regular one-on-one matches. It has to have some kind of stipulation. Mm-hmm. So every time you have that belt and you're defending it, you have to have a stipulation on a match, be it a ladder match, be it a first blood match, be it a hardcore match, or anything like that.
Okay. And so how did you come up with the name Jamie Eternal?
Well, I came up with the name Jamie Eternal back when I was training. I've always liked the name Jamie for some reason. I don't know why that, but when it came down to the name Eternal, see, I believe that life is too short, and everyone has to leave some kind of mark behind in this world. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you do, it makes you immortal. You know, it makes you eternal.
Right, okay.
So you leave some kind of mark. You do something that, you know, other people see and will stay in history. That's why I came up with the name.
All right, and Michigan's only masked monster. You wear a mask. Is there a reason that why you chose to wear a mask, or was it because there was no other masked wrestler around? Or
well, especially in Michigan, there are not too many masked wrestlers. There are a few, but a lot of them aren't the masked monsters like I portray. When I started off, I did not wear a mask for a while, and then I did a match with a gentleman named Bloody Harker Dirge, and the match we had was called First Blood, where the only way to win is to make your opponent bleed. Well, he defeated me in that match, and I was pretty bloody. I was a bloody mess. My entire head covered in blood. So to shield myself from that, I started wearing a mask. Then the mask kind of took over my personality, and now I'm the masked monster.
Okay. And how long have you been actually wearing the mask for?
I've been wearing the mask since about January or February of 2008.
Okay. And that's when that match was?
Yep.
Yeah. And your character you base off of some horror movie icons. Tell us about that.
Well, I've always been a huge fan of the 80s slasher flicks, like Friday the 13th or, Halloween and stuff like that. The big silent killers that just come at you and they don't stop, and they have those evil looks, and they can scare people just by looking at them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I try to portray in my characters.
Okay, and it's of interest to note, actually, that you you are silent.
Yes.
Pretty much. Except here today, you're not, but I mean, your character is silent.
Well, yes, you know, with the mask, I decided to shield myself from the outside world of the wrestling fans and the other wrestlers, and just be completely silent. I let my actions speak for my words in the wrestling ring.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought at all about taking off the mask or changing your character at all in any way, or is not this isn't the time for that yet? Or
well, I've been pretty successful. Putting on the mask and developing my character to what it is now has really brought me up to another level with the bookers of these independent wrestling promotions around. Okay. You know, yeah. they see me as marketable because of this crazy eccentric look that I have.
Right, okay. And getting into that, you know, and talking a little bit about gimmicks in wrestling, it seems that's got a lot to do with wrestling and the wrestlers is actually having a gimmick and portraying some type of a character. And it seems that the ones that do portray a character in some way or not necessarily portray a character, but have a character persona, seem to do better than those that don't. I mean, it seems like the ones that don't have a character and they're just in, you know, their tights or their trunks or something like that, they seem a little more boring.
Well, right. If you're, you know, a generic wrestler, you're coming out there wearing a pair of trunks and, you know, some knee pads and elbow pads, and you don't really have something that sets you apart. You're a cookie cutter, you know. That's what they call it, is cookie cutters. You know, if you got 10 cookie cutter wrestlers and then you got one guy who looks like me, or, you know, you look at the big times and you got to look at the guys that I've kind of portrayed, you know, some of their style, like the Undertaker, you know.
Right.
You know, he stands out.
Silent
he's
wrestler,
different,
that's,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's the big evil guy and he has this look and he has this persona, and it's what sets him apart from, you know, some of the other guys.
Let's talk about your costuming and those things that set you apart. And it's rather elaborate, including the black leather mask. Is there anything special about the mask itself, or is it your standard S&M type?
No, I designed it a while ago. I want it to look a little different, but still running.
It has
with
a
some
scary
kind of,
look to it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I wanted some kind of theme to it. I had stitches going down the middle of it, you know, to get that sewn together, just monster look, you know, because the way I see it is like, it's just like with the rest of my gear, you know, the wrestling pants that I wear, they're all kind of torn up.
Right.
You know, they're not in great condition, but I like that because you stop and think about it, like a guy like in the movies, like Friday the 13th and Halloween, Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees, they don't stop to sew their clothes.
Right.
They don't stop at Kmart to buy new clothes. They wear the same thing, and they just let it get torn up.
Yeah.
You know, so they have that certain look. So that's what I was kind of going for. My mask is all beat up and stitched up because a monster wouldn't stop to fix it.
Right. You know? I wish you'd take it off in the studio, but, man. Your jackets, you wear these rather elaborate long leather coats, and you have a few different colors as well.
Yeah, I have a red one, a blue one that's got red tint, and then a black one with golden cuffs. They're actually the jackets are based off of a video game character.
Oh,
actually.
Yeah.
There's a video game series I'm a big fan of called Devil May Cry, and actually all three of my jackets and my costume, like my pants and my tops, they're pretty much all from the Devil May Cry games. You know, I found him a costume maker in Japan, and he made them for me. And, you know, it cost a good amount of money, but it's definitely worth it in the long run because that gives me my unique look.
Let's talk about how you got your start and, you know, where you were initially trained and that type of thing.
I got my start in February of 2005. I decided I wanted to get into wrestling. I actually started off, as a lot of these wrestlers do, I started off in the backyard. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was younger, me and my friends, we loved wrestling. We built a ring, and we started wrestling in the backyard. We'd watch wrestling all the time and try to teach ourselves how to do this and how to do that. And we just did it for years, and we loved it. And then one day I thought to myself, I want to do this for real.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked around, and I found the first place I found was actually out in Coldwater, Michigan. The place is owned by UFC legend Dan the Beast Severn, who's also on top of being a UFC legend, he was in the WWF back when it was still WWF in, I believe, 97, 98, somewhere around there. So Dan Severn, you know, he had some credibility in my eyes. Hey, he made it. So
right.
I'm going to go train with him. And he has a great training facility out in Coldwater. He trains in pro wrestling, mixed martial arts. He trains like some police. He does a lot of stuff for the community. He runs his own wrestling promotion called Price of Glory Wrestling. He runs his own mixed martial arts company called The Danger Zone. So we went out there and got some hands-on training with him and a few other local independent wrestlers, a guy named Jack Thriller, who's sadly retired now, but I learned most of my stuff from those two guys. Mm-hmm. And started training in February of 2005, and I had my first match about a year later. So,
okay. And when you start training for wrestling, is it is there any other training involved? Like, is there martial arts training and you know, boxing and things of that nature, or is it kind of specifically geared towards what you'll be doing in the ring as a wrestler?
Yeah, pro wrestling is pretty intricate, so you got to focus mostly on that. Like, when you train the especially at a respectable, reputable school, mm-hmm. They're going to train you straight on pro wrestling, and then they're going to teach you about cardio, and they're going to help you try to get in shape.
Right.
Because, you know, as a wrestler, you want to be in shape. You want to have good cardio, you know, so you don't gas out in the ring, you know.
Right.
If you're out there having a match and you can't make it through halfway, you know, and you're wheezing and hacking and dying,
mm-hmm.
then it's not a good thing, you know. You can end up hurting somebody if you're too tired to lift them up,
right.
You know. So they'll pretty much teach you, you know, help you out with cardio, help you out with getting in shape, and then teach you all of everything about wrestling.
Mm-hmm. I notice in some of the bio stuff that I've read on you and that you're kind of a unique wrestler. You're not a traditional type of wrestler. How so?
You know, wrestling has its basic fundamentals that is based off, like, amateur wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, amateur wrestling you'd see in high school and stuff like that. But we add the showmanship to it, you know. So you got a lot of guys out there doing all this technical, you know, these technical moves. Well, I utilize my size and my strength and my power and really just kick people's heads off.
So it's just, like, a kind of a violent attack.
Yeah, I'm a little more violent as aggressive. Opposed to as a more technical, I guess.
Right, okay. And how about any notable matches that you've had?
Oh, God, well, I mean, you know, throughout the past 6 years now, there's been so many. A few that come to mind more recently, back in October, I faced off with former WWE star Seven Thorn. He was called Kevin Thorn in WWE, but now he's back on the indies, and they own that name, so he went back to using Seven Thorn. He came in. We had a great match. Had a lot of fun with that. I've worked with some of the top guys in Michigan. There's a gentleman named Jimmy Jacobs,
mm-hmm.
who is one of the... He's probably the hottest free agent wrestler in the United States. He's done everything. He's been everywhere. I've worked with him before. I've worked with former ECW wrestler Ian Rotten also.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with some of the top Michigan guys. There's a gentleman by the name of Jimmy the Hype Shawin, who's like a 12-year veteran of wrestling, and he's been kind of my mentor.
Mm-hmm.
He's helped me get better as a wrestler, because, you know, there can only be so much they teach you in a wrestling school, you know.
Right.
Is they're showing you the inside parts of the business. They're showing you how to do this move, how to do that move, how to do the ring psychology, all this stuff, but you don't really know about it till you get out in front of that crowd.
Right.
You know, when you're in front of a crowd of people you don't know and they're seeing you for the first time, you got to learn how to work with that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Jimmy the Hype Shawin has helped me along the past like 4 years, become a really great mentor of mine. We've worked lots of matches together, and he just helped me improve more and more and more. So,
what are they? Is it training? That's what they help you with, and then are they there when you're at your matches as well? Some of these mentor guys?
Yeah, it's more of a like. Basically, what I mean by him being my mentor is he's a wrestler on the independent level, and, you know, I see him at a lot of shows, and he took a liking to me.
Right.
So he'd give me advice. You know, he'd watch, when I'd have a match with somebody else, he'd sit there and watch that match.
Advice, tips, things like that.
Right, and he'd give me advice and talk with me, and they'd say, hey, I'm going to talk to this promoter, and me and you are going to have a match.
Oh.
And then we'd have a match, and he'd say, all right, this is what we're going to do in the match. This is what you should do. Mm-hmm. This is how you're going to get better. And, you know, after years of him helping me, you know, it's helped me improve greatly.
Okay. And how about travel? Do you travel a lot?
Oh, yeah, I sure do. I've traveled all around Michigan. I've been to Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin, and possibly soon the other side of the country. Well, not the other side of the country, but the other way, going towards, like, Ohio. You know, I've been to Ohio once, but Pennsylvania is a possibility. New York's a possibility.
And how about tag teams? Do you often wrestle in as a team?
Well, normally as the monster I portray is kind of a loner character, but okay. In recent times I actually have teamed up with my mentor Jimmy the Hype Show, and at one of the promotions actually out in Coldwater, Price of Glory, me and him finally came together as a tag team, and mm-hmm. We're hoping to dominate the tag team circuit now.
Okay. With tag teams, how are they usually chosen? I mean, that might have been a special circumstance, but what do they normally do? Is it usually, is it sometimes guys that are buddies, or is it pairs that seem like the guys maybe should be wrestling together? Is it done strictly sometimes for the promotion of a couple characters, or how does that work?
Well, that's a funny question. That's actually a really good question. Tag teams can come from any different angle, any different way. You know, some guys come into wrestling together with the purpose and the intent of being a tag team. You know, they will get into training together, they will train together, and they will debut, they'll have their first match together as a tag team, and they will be a tag team. Some guys, it's just because they were thrown together once and they had some chemistry. You know, sometimes it's a storyline thing that works out. I actually have two friends of mine. One is named Joseph Schwartz, and one is named Sean Tyler. They are a tag team right now called the Kosher Club.
Okay. Are these Jewish wrestlers?
Yes.
Okay.
they've been the tag team since actually right around the same time I put on my mask is when they became a tag team. It started off as a storyline that just kind of burst out of the seams and just worked really well for them. They Joseph Schwartz and Sean Tyler had a match against each other once, mm-hmm. and the deal was that if Sean Tyler lost, he would have to join with Joseph Schwartz and become his lackey. Well, he lost, so he had to join with Joseph Schwartz and become his lackey. And the next show, Joseph Schwartz needed a tag team partner, so he pulled up Sean. Well, they just had some chemistry that connected, and Joseph Schwartz is the only one that's actually Jewish. Sean Tyler was converted at that point.
Oh, okay.
And then they became the Kosher Club, and for the past few years, they've actually been like one of the top tag teams around Michigan and Indiana and Ohio. And
all right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more Carl Frazier, Michigan's only masked monster, Jamie Eternal, on You Talking to Me.
I'm Big JD's grandma, and you're listening to You Talking to Me.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
We're back. You're listening to You Talking to Me. I've got Carl Frazier in the studio. He is Michigan's only masked monster, Jamie Eternal, wrestling with NWA Underground. I want to talk a little bit about these VIP wrestling DVDs I see. What's the VIP company, and is this ongoing? Because I see you also throw a few different names around as far as companies. So the VIP thing, the NWA thing. So there's more companies that are involved. Do they work together and stuff like that, or?
Some companies do work together, some don't. I mean, most companies are just trying to make it on their own. VIP is actually currently working with Price of Glory Wrestling in Goldwater, where some of their wrestlers are coming in and facing the Price of Glory wrestlers. Oh. And they have it, you know, it's being billed right now, actually, as VIP versus POG. At the next show, they have a double main event where the two main event matches are both VIP wrestlers versus POG wrestlers. VIP is a great company. I work for them also, though. Okay. So it's kind of hard, you know, to if you got these two companies working together, but you work for both of them, and they're supposed to have this angle where they're crossing over.
Or they're not going to make you fight yourself or anything.
No. I am not involved in the VIP versus POG storyline.
Okay.
I'm kind of doing my own thing out of Coldwater with Jimmy the Hype Show, and mm-hmm. we just tagged up, so doing that. But VIP is a great company. I've worked for them pretty much since their debut. God, almost 2 years ago now.
And some of those DVDs, though, are recent.
Oh, yeah.
And that you're in.
Yeah. I'm in every single... I actually missed their first show, which was like almost 2 years ago, mm-hmm. but I've made it to every other show since, and you can find me on every DVD of theirs. They have a website, if you don't mind, I'll plug that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their website is www.vip-wrestling.com. There you can find out updates on the shows, what's coming up. You can, you know, buy our DVDs. You can buy tickets to the shows. You know, see what VIP wrestling is all about. It's a great place.
Right. And actually, while we're on that, the contact thing, you can give out the other address for NWA, too.
TheNWAUnderground.com. And then also www.priceofglorywrestling.com for the Price of Glory out in Coldwater.
Okay. Now, some of those DVDs... High Stakes, Ring of the Living Dead, Desperate Measures, and Jingle Brawl. Now, that must have been around Christmas time, take it. And what I wanted to ask you about was I saw some pictures of Christmas ornaments that had the wrestlers in them. Was that something that was available for
Yes, it's actually available for purchase still on the website.
Wow.
That's
pretty neat.
The guy that owns the company, his wife actually made them. And she actually gave away free ones to each of the wrestlers. So I got a Christmas ornament with me in it.
That's pretty cool.
At my home. But they have a whole set available. I'm not sure what the price is, but you can buy it from the website.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty neat. No bobbleheads yet?
No, not yet.
All right. What about other merchandise? Is there anything else that's available? Do you sell posters and things like that?
You know what? A lot of it is done mainly through the wrestlers themselves. Mm-hmm. Wrestlers will go out and get stuff made, T-shirts, 8x10s, you know, stuff like that. And they will bring them to the shows, and there's generally a merchandise table set up, and they just go throw their merchandise down. Okay. And, you know, somebody's there, you know, working the table and everything. So a lot of companies themselves don't make too much merchandise.
Right.
Generally, it's just like they'll make like a shirt for their company.
A lot of self-promotion then?
Oh, of course. Yeah, definitely.
And what kind of stuff would you find on a Jamie Eternal table at a match?
Well, currently, the only thing I have is 8x10s, which I'm actually out of right now. I got to find some time to get some more printed up. But I've been trying to work on coming up with a T-shirt design. I guess I've just had, like, I guess artist block because I just can't think of something that works. Every time I think I might have something, it's like, no, that would look terrible on a shirt. So I'm still working on the T-shirt right now. And besides that, pretty much would be it. You know, some wrestlers have some interesting stuff, though. Jimmy the Hype Show, and he actually sells an energy drink called Hype Energy Drink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he has 8x10s and he has shirts.
The Hype, though, is a standard energy drink.
Right.
He brings it to the shows.
Yeah, he'll buy it. He'll buy like a case of it at a store and bring it to shows and sell them because it's Hype.
Stamina, you talked about a little earlier on the show. How long are the matches, generally?
Well, a basic match is like 7 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just your all-around basic match. But
is that broken up at all, or is that just a straight 7-minute fight and it's over?
Yeah, you know, you get a little bit of time for to come out to the ring, your entrances. You know, you have some time for your entrances, you have some time to celebrate or, you know, whatever after the match is over. If you win, you can celebrate. But, like, from bell to bell, you know, a promoter say, all right, you got 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so really that means you got about probably 6 to 8 minutes. Just keep it right around 7.
Right.
But that's just your standard, you know, like if you go to a show and you have 6 matches on a wrestling show,
uh-huh.
your first match, your opening match, which they call the curtain jerker,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be a 7-minute match. But your main event match at the end, that's going to be 15, maybe more.
Okay.
You know, sometimes 20, 25, maybe even more than that.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's not broken up?
What do you mean broken
up? I mean broken up into segments, 15 minutes or 20 minutes of wrestling. That's not broken up. There's no bells in there anywhere?
No, not at all.
Fight straight. So you got to have the stamina to get through a
Oh, yeah.
20 minutes of throwing each other around, basically.
Yeah, it can get pretty hectic, especially if you're one of those wrestlers that's always moving.
Yeah.
You know? Like, generally, a bad guy wrestler is a guy who takes his time. You know, mm-hmm. He'll kick a guy when he's down and then go out to the crowd. He doesn't have to run around as much.
Right, right.
Good guy wrestler is a guy that's fighting back, so he's going to be running around a lot.
Okay.
You know?
You talked a little bit, too, about backyard wrestling, like when you started. But you were probably, what seems to me, not into the backyard wrestling thing like we see on some of the videos on the internet and sometimes on those, America's Craziest Video things or whatever.
When I was doing backyard wrestling, one is we weren't like those crazy kids you see on the videos. You know, we weren't like trying to really kill each other. We built a ring and we tried to, you know, make everything as safe as possible. Someone can get hurt, even the smallest, simplest thing. You know, somebody can get hurt, paralyzed, you know, even die.
Right.
I totally do not go down. I mean, even the professionals get hurt and they know what they're doing. So if you have no training, then it's even worse.
Now, how about awards and things like that? You've been nominated and also won second place for a Best Gimmick of the Year in 2009.
Yeah, I sure did.
And any other awards?
I've won a few awards. Back in, was it 2000? I think it was for the year of 2008. I won the Best Feud.
Okay.
And it was actually between me and my mentor, Jimmy the Hype Shelwin. We had a feud that lasted for like a year, and we kept it entertaining and interesting, and you know, kept bringing more and more crowds to these shows to see our feud. So we won Feud of the Year. I won. God, what else did I win? I think I won a Match of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
For my match at the first Jingle Brawl at VIP.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I think it might be online. It was with a gentleman named Lewis Linden, who's becoming a top guy around Michigan. He's actually wrestled on MTV. And he actually, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this or not, but he got a call from WWE recently, too.
Oh, yeah?
So,
okay.
Yeah, he's a guy that can make it. Me and him put on, you know, one of the best matches I've ever had, mm-hmm. back at the first Jingle Brawl in 2009.
You've, I guess, taken a little bit of downtime or slowed down a little bit with the wrestling so that you could concentrate on filmmaking and going to school for filmmaking.
Right, right. I mean, I love wrestling and everything, but, you know, it's a career that has a shelf life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't be doing this when I'm 50 years old. You
right.
know, I'll be breaking my hip, breaking my back, so... You know, I've been doing this for so long, and I never did anything else after high school except this.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started thinking, well, maybe I should get into something. Maybe I should find something else to do that's a little less painful, a little less dangerous. And the other thing I've loved my entire life is movies. I've always, you know, I have an obsession with movies. I watch movies constantly. I watch the same movies over and over, the ones that I really love. You know, I have probably about 2,000 movies,
wow.
You know, in my collection, you know, and counting.
Yeah.
I study them all the time. You know, when I'm not working or wrestling or going to school, I'm pretty much watching movies.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, too, with the VIP DVDs, did you have any input on the DVDs or the making of those at all or the names of the...
No, that's pretty much...
Some of them sound like something that might come from you, so...
That was pretty much left up to the guys that run the company. You know, I just wrestle for them, that's...
Like the Ring of the Living Dead, and... All right, so what's in Jamie Eternal's future?
Well, right now I'm actually about a week off of graduating school, and mm-hmm. I'm going to be looking for work in the film industry, but... being that I don't have to come to school 5 days a week anymore, I'm probably going to pick up my wrestling bookings a little more, try to get back out on there, and hopefully jump back onto wrestling every weekend, at least until I get a job on a movie set or something, and I can't.
Right on. So if you could give any advice to kids that might want to get into the sport, what would you suggest that they do?
I suggest, first, get your studies out of the way. You know, don't drop out of school.
Have something to fall back on.
Yeah, have something to fall back on. Finish high school. Get out there. Maybe do a year or two of community college or something. Just have something. The words, I actually asked advice from a WWE wrestler when I met him at an autograph signing right before I started training. It was a guy named Triple H. Mm-hmm. I met him and I said, "Hey, I'm about to go into wrestling training. Do you have any advice for me?" And he goes, "Two words, man." I'm like, "What's that?" He goes, "Don't quit."
Okay.
So my advice is Triple H's advice. Don't quit.
Right. Good stuff. Great advice. You have an area on the web that you would like to direct any listeners to check out Jamie Eternal. And what's that?
Yeah, for any information you need, you want to talk to me, you want to find out where I might be wrestling or anything like that, just find me at www.facebook.com/Jamie Eternal.
All right. On Facebook, /Jamie Eternal. I appreciate you being on the show, Carl and Jamie. It's a pleasure having you here. Thanks for being on You Talking to Me.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, great advice to kids from wrestler Carl Frazier, a.k.a. Jamie Eternal, Michigan's only masked monster. Visit the NWAUnderground.com or search Jamie Eternal on the web for more info and possibly video clips and things of that nature. This is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.